Praise the Lord, everybody. How is everyone tonight? Good. Great. Awesome. Let's stand together. We're going to open in prayer. And as we open in prayer, we have a wonderful victory report for Sister Pam Carpenter's doctors. Gave her the official report that she is in remission. So we are thanking Jesus for that report, and Sister Pam wants to thank everybody for your prayers because they truly have helped her in these moments, and just pray for her strength to continue to return. The Lord will continue to touch her, and that he will continue the work that he has begun in Jesus' name. Any unspoken prayer requests, the Lord knows. Even if we don't, we're going to double pray for you, Pastor Phil. Two hands up. And then also this evening, there are some people who are home not feeling well, and we want to remember them in prayer. Pointing fingers now. Okay. Praise God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we open up this service tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that you are here with us. We thank you for your presence and your peace that passes all understanding. And Lord, we thank you for the report that the doctors have given Sister Pam. We thank you for your hand that has been upon her, that has been touching her. And Father, I pray that you would continue to carry her and give her full strength and full recovery from this, God. Not as she was, but better than she was before, Father. We claim it in Jesus' name, and we thank you, Lord. We pray for all those who are homesick this evening, Lord, that you would minister healing in their bodies, that you would take away the sickness that is there, that you would lift them up, that you would encourage them, Father. We thank you that everyone who is here this evening, Lord, you have brought us together, and I believe that you have a word for each one of us. Help us to hear from you first, Father. Help us to take what you give us and to take it home and to put it into action. And I pray, Lord, that as we set aside this time, that you would just be with us. Help us, Lord, to just set aside everything from the day and just to sit here and to be in your presence for however long that takes for us tonight, God. We pray that you would be at liberty here to move among us and do, Father, what only you can do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. We are so glad that you are here this evening. If you are a guest visiting with us, we do ask that you would check in at the back kiosk. Just get a few points of information so we can connect with you. And I hear there's a small gift. I'm not going to promise you anything bigger than a small gift tonight. But that's better than nothing, right? Sister Alyssa, it's good to see you. She's going to be joining our church family in how many days? 50. The wedding is in 50 days. So she's here visiting Jacob. And we're excited that she will be joining our church family here. If you're visiting with us online, we're so glad that you are. And we do ask that you connect with us through that bit.ly link that is on your screen. Worship. We worship the Lord in so many different ways. One of the ways that we do that is by coming here and we praise and we sing songs. But another way that we do that is by giving. Giving of our finances and saying, Lord, you gave this to me and I'm going to give back to you. And we do have several ways that you can give. We have a plexiglass box. I always mess that word up. I got it right tonight. We have a box out in the back that you can drop your tithing in if you'd like to. Otherwise, you can mail it in. Thank you for the notes that you send with the checks. I always enjoy seeing those little notes there. You can also give online, or you can give through our Church Center app. We're getting more and more things active in the Church Center app, so if you have not downloaded it, we do encourage you to do that tonight. This Saturday at 1 o'clock is the Hyphen Chili Bowl. You're going to meet at the Knops House in Sun Prairie. If you don't know where that is, you can chat with Jenny or Josh. They aren't here yet. But you can chat with them if you want more information on that. So this Saturday, 1 o'clock till about 4, there will be the Chili Bowl. And then this Sunday at 11 a.m., we're going to have Brother Galen Thompson here ministering. So invite someone to come with you. We'll have our regular service at 10 a.m., our teaching Sunday school portion. So come for class and then enjoy service with us at 11 a.m. Make sure I get the times right so everyone's here. So we invite you tonight to stand, to join in worship as we praise the Lord together.
Praise the Lord. And he'll renew God, I know many of you have been praying this week for my brother Johnny, had open heart surgery and everything went really well. Took a little extra long because they had to remove some of that stubborn grayness out of him, but I'm just joking. You can be seated this evening. Thank you so very much, Sister Sarah, and to our worship team for awesome worship. The month of February, this Sunday, Brother Galen Thompson will be here ministering to us. We're excited about that. And next Wednesday evening, we will be starting. We're still talking about pressing on, but we're going to talk about the battle of the mind. And I'm going to wrap up preparing our house for revival tonight, and so just kind of giving you the heads up. Brother Phil has had a little promotional slide up there if you've been paying attention to that. And but finishing tonight, reading from our key passage in Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 through 15. This is Paul talking to the church at Philippi, and he's saying, "Brother, and I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press," and we've said this, I push forward. I don't feel like it sometimes, but I push forward. I'm not in the mood sometimes, but I push forward. Maybe I have an attitude, but I push forward. And I'm forgetting the past. I'm forgetting what is behind me, what happened yesterday, what happened last week, what happened last month, last year. And I press towards or forward to what lies ahead. And he's basically, what he's saying is, I don't care what has happened in the past. I don't care what you may have thought of me in my past. I'm pressing forward because I don't want to become stuck where I am. And this is very easy for a Christian to do, is to get complacent and stuck where you are. Sometimes we choose to be stuck. Sometimes that's a choice we make. Paul acknowledges to all of us, especially as he writes to the church in Philippi, that, you know what, I am not where I want to be yet. I'm still striving, I'm still pushing, I'm still a work in process, and he realized that God is still pruning his rough edges away from him. God is still shaping him, and he's still trying to improve, and he's not going to give up. I think all of us tonight need to take the attitude as I press toward the mark. I push for a higher calling of God in Christ Jesus. So we're going to be wrapping up our series on pressing on preparing a house for revival. And next Wednesday, as I said, we will be pressing on into the battle for the mind. And we're going to talk about developing spiritual habits that protect our minds and our thoughts. So as we wrap up tonight, as your pastor, I believe that we must get ready for revival. And that means preparing for and gearing up for various types of fighting. I've covered this last month. We spoke in many different messages of importance of the church family, about fellowship, and about communion, connections with one another just past this past Sunday. Thank you so very much, Brother Jerry, for putting together our connection fair. But we had a connection fair where we could go. We can give him a hand. Thank you, Brother Jerry, Sister Lindsay, Brother Ty. Awesome hot dog. I don't think I've ever seen a hot dog spread like Sunday. That was awesome. Thank you so very much, Brother Ty. Yes, give him a big hand. Listen, when it comes to food, and the men's ministry had Brother Dave Shroud going around passing out bacon. I mean, where do you find that? That's just, obviously we're not a Jewish church here. I'm thankful to be a Gentile on Sunday. Oh, as I covered, we talked about importance of church. We talked about working together, praying together, worshiping together, and fighting together. Now, I'm not talking about just going out and picking on a neighbor and fighting. I'm talking about spiritual warfare, about fighting, being prepared for battle. Ephesians 6:13 tells us in the message, it says, be prepared. You're up against more than you can handle on your own. Basically, we need to take all the help that we can get. We need to take every weapon that God has issued to us, and we need to learn how to effectively use it to our advantage. And when it's all over but the shouting, we want to be still standing on our feet. Truth, righteousness, peace, and faith and salvation are more than just words. We must learn how to apply them, because these are weapons. They are indispensable weapons that God has given to us. Truth is a weapon. Why? Because Satan is a liar and a father of all lies. There is no truth in him, so truth becomes a weapon. The word of God is truth. It's a weapon. So how do we talked about prayer. Prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. How do we prepare or purify ourselves for battle? We talked about entering into his presence. We talked about reading our instruction manual, our Bible, our battle plan. We talked about repentance and the importance of repentance. We talked about eliminating any doubt about the outcome of our mission. When God says, I will do this, I will be with you, I will protect you, I will bless you, then God will be with us. He will protect us. God will do what he says he will do. A lot of our problems is, as we sang about tonight, about waiting on the Lord. I love that, waiting on the Lord. But the truth is, a lot of times God is waiting on us. I want to wait on you, Jesus. I'm sure he's thinking, no, 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 no. I've been waiting on you. So we need to eliminate any doubt about the outcome of our mission. We need to repent, then receive our forgiveness. You know, a lot of times we just repent and we're stuck within that repentance and we don't accept the forgiveness that comes with repentance. Accept it when you mess up and you repent and you ask God to forgive you, accept the fact that he forgives you, and then move on. Don't stay stuck in a constant mindset of repentance. Repentance, yes, is important. Every day we need to repent, but we need to move past and move on. Determine who will be in your foxhole with you. If we are in a battle and we are having to take and choose who is going to go into battle with me. There are some folks I would love to take and have go into battle with me, and there are other folks I'm not quite for sure. I'm just laying it out there. There are some folks I know that if we got into it and we got into it bad, that they're going to take and they got, what do they say that? They got my six covered. They got my back covered. Some folks you're not quite so sure of. So determine who is going to be in your foxhole with you. And we need to get out in front of our battles by praising God. We talked about Jehoshaphat, how they got out. They praised God. They worshiped. And Joshua 3:5 should become our expectation for each new day. For tomorrow, Jehovah will do wonders among you. If you want to be successful, you can never ignore or minimize the preparation time it takes to be successful in winning a spiritual battle. The price for success is always paid in advance of your victory. You don't receive a victory and then go into intercessory prayer. You go into intercessory prayer and then you have your victory. So many times we want to have the victory without putting anything into it. We wonder why we get our backside booted all around the country or all around the city, the state, wherever. The enemy's always kicking us and always booting us around. You know what? Get ahead of the boot. Success is always paid in advance of your victory, never after the fact. Another thing, when we come to preparing our house for battle, I'm talking about our physical homes where we live, but I'm also talking about our spiritual house right here, is we need to be prepared for a life of righteousness. We live in a world that is very, very sinful world. And there's not a lot of righteousness in our world today. There's not a lot of righteousness in our city. We don't work every day. You don't work. I hope I do, at least. I'm employed here at the church. But be prepared for a life of righteousness. Now let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2, 24. It says, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed." Now you could look at this and say, well, that's a verse that's talking about healing. Well, when you look up the word righteous in the Strong's Concordance, you will find that it's a Greek word which carries the meaning in a broad sense, state of him as he ought to be righteous, the condition acceptable to God, integrity, virtue, purity of life, rightness, correctness of thinking, feeling, and acting. And we're talking about preparing one's house for revival. We can't have revival if we don't have righteousness. Did God ever bless Israel because they were unrighteous? Think about this. The life, the history of Israel and the patterns that they lived as a nation should be a very good example for us to see that when Israel was living their lives unrighteously, things didn't go so well for them, yet we expect sometimes because we go to church and maybe we throw our alms in the offering plate and we're good people that God is going to bless us. God will bless righteousness and holiness. Because it's his character. He has to because it's his character. So if we live a life that's contrary, don't expect God to step in and bless. So according to Peter, so if we look at this, righteousness is the state of him who is as he ought to be. We ought, how ought we to be? We need to be walking victorious. We need to be winning our battles because of the greater one who is in and empowers us. But so many times we don't win our battles because we're not walking how we ought to be walking. This is basic. If we want to win, if we want to prepare our house for revival, we have to be prepared for a life of righteousness. Everyone who is serious about the relationship with Jesus Christ and his cause should be endeavoring to be as they ought to be. Ought to be as in according to Scripture, dead to our sins and living a life unto righteousness. We can look at Proverbs 4:18 in the Amplified, and if you read a chapter of Proverbs every day, 4 days ago, you should have run across this. For our daily spiritual help, you just read that, but the path of the uncompromisingly just and righteous is like the light of dawn that shines more and more or clearer and brighter until it reaches its full strength and glory in the perfect day to be prepared. So every day as we prepare ourselves for our daily events, we are to be mentally, physically, and spiritually prepared, mentally, physically, and spiritually righteous, regardless of what circumstances that lie ahead for us. God expects us to be righteous even if we get ripped off by somebody doing something. God expects us to be righteous even if we get cut off on the Beltline. I've been driving the Beltline more than I have in the last month and a half than I have in the last probably year and a half. And it amazes me that I can drive on the interstate at 65 and 70 and get on the Beltline and I got to drive 75 and I'm getting past at 80. Why does it speed up on the Beltline? I have no idea. There's just something about that Beltline that people just drive like wild maniacs. It's a good place to test your righteousness. Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:2 in the New Living Translation. He says, preach the word of God. Be prepared, whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage you with good teaching. So if we must prepare or ready ourselves in our houses for revival, we must be prepared to move outside of our comfort zones. Boy, have we talked a lot about this? Have you heard a lot about this? You get tired. You want me to just skip this point? Are we tired of talking about comfort zones? No, we're gonna talk about it tonight again. We've talked a lot about this. If you're living in a comfort zone, this is going to get like, pull your feet up off the floor. If you're living in a comfort zone, it's simply due to one of two things. This is very, very simple. Nothing difficult about this. My name is Roy. 3 letters, R-O-Y. I like things simple. It's because you don't know something or you're not willing to do something with what you already know. It's one of those two. Okay, most of us here, will fall into the second portion of that statement. The reason is because we've already discussed this and you've already been told, so you should already know. So we fall into, we're not willing to do something with what we already know. So Paul, the apostle, at times, he could just be outright blunt. Not a lot of tactfulness sometimes in his writings, but he writes in Romans, to the Romans, in chapter 1, verses 13, he says, "Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren." "Now, brethren, I would not have you stupid. I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oft times I propose to come unto you, but you have been preventing me from doing so until now, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles." Now, going back to Strong's Concordance, the word ignorance means not knowing. Simply said, ignorance is not knowing the facts. We live in a world today to where it's kind of funny. We talked about this, I believe, in our staff meeting on Tuesday about Wikipedia and how that, well, you know, if you're going to do research, don't do it on Wikipedia, because Wikipedia is nothing more than just other people's opinions. There's no fact-based or very little fact-based in it. You and I can go on Wikipedia and write down whatever we feel is correct. A lot of it's opinions. Even though the opinions sound good, they're just opinions. But the fact is something that's difficult to move a fact. An opinion you can kind of push around and shape and mold, but a fact just won't do that. A fact is gravity is a fact. To prove that, get up on the pew and fall forward. Free fall forward. I will guarantee you, after one time of hitting the ground, you will say, "I believe that's a fact." You're not going to get up there and say, "Well, let's just get an opinion here." No, you're going to determine after your nose splats on the ground that, you know what? Yes, gravity is indeed a fact. It's going to happen. It's going to So. Now, simply said, ignorance is not knowing the facts. Now, this is going to get a little blunt here, but stupid is knowing the facts, but choosing not to do anything with it. So stupid, ignorance is not understanding gravity and how it works. Stupid is knowing how it works and doing it anyway. Benjamin Franklin made a statement. It's pretty hardcore. Sounds like something, to be honest with you, that James Hawk would have said in a CIP message. But he stated that we are all born ignorant, but one must work hard to remain stupid. Think about that. There is a cure for ignorance. It's just simply get knowledge. It's that simple. If you lack knowledge, it's really your fault, because knowledge is available everywhere. There's more knowledge available today than there ever has been. If you lack knowledge, it's your fault. Knowledge is knowing God's word. A lot of people have knowledge in knowing God's word, but wisdom, bringing wisdom into the picture, wisdom is knowing where, when, and how to apply it. Psalms 119, 66 in the New Living Translation says, "I believe in your commands. Now teach me good judgment and knowledge." It's been said that if you don't like where you are in life, chances are it's because there's something you don't know yet. A lot of times we get stuck in places in life simply because we don't have the knowledge to change where we are. You follow that? We make decisions sometimes that, yes, They're based off of ignorance simply because we don't have the correct knowledge to make the right decision that we need to make. So how do you get knowledge and wisdom? Well, knowledge a lot of times comes from just reading, and it comes from hard knocks. But wisdom, we just have to ask God. Seek God. Proverbs 4:7 says, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Increased wisdom will prepare you to move outside of your comfort zone. So I'm just going to ask a few questions here, and this is something that as I ask these questions, you don't have to verbally answer them, but just in your mind, we can do that. Just answer yes or no to these questions. Do you read your Bible on a daily basis? Yes or no? Do you take notes on what you've read? Yes or no? Does the Holy Spirit bring things to your remembrance as you read? And then take notes. Yes or no? If not, why? Are you reading any book other than the Bible at this very moment? Is the book motivational? Is it inspirational? And is it practical? Is this book building, helping you to build a better life? Now, you may be reading a Louis L'Amour. You could be reading a romance murder. You can do a lot of reading, but not every book that you read, and I'm not saying that that's wrong, but not every book you read builds up your character. Not every book gives you knowledge. Not every book helps you on the wisdom side of things. Are you taking notes as you read this book? And is the Holy Spirit stirring things up in you as you read this book? Now, if you answer no to more than one of those questions, you need more preparation in the Word. And just perhaps you have become comfortable living inside your comfort zone. I think one of the greatest travesties in life is you read a very good motivational book, you mark it all up and take notes on it and say, these are things that I really need to do, and then you don't apply them in your life. God, the Bible is a phenomenal read. Don't take me wrong on this, but there are a lot of other good books out there that build along with the Scripture. And sometimes we read these books. I mean, Brother Bernard is a phenomenal writer. And we read some of his books and we're like, well, that's just a little bit too hard for me to deal with. We take all kinds of notes, but yet we don't do anything. So here we are, we become stuck where we are. And there are churches full of good people, but stuck people. Maybe you just need a little bit of a boot tonight to help motivate you over that little bit of a speed bump and get yourself rolling. So get wisdom. Move from where you are to where God wants you to be. And I can almost promise you that wherever that is will not be in your comfort zone. Very seldom does God ever use people within their comfort zone. Very seldom do miracles take place within your comfort zone. Most things God stretches us in our faith by pushing us out of what we're comfortable with. I think that's why Jesus, he did things so different. Can you imagine if we said, okay, we're going to lay hands on the sick and someone comes down here that's blind. Pastor Roy pulls out a piece of bubble gum, sticks it in his mouth, chews it up, and then stretches it out and smears it over a guy's eyeball. Now, Jesus used mud. I don't have any mud in here. But just think about something as radical as that. What was Jesus doing? Jesus was trying to teach us that there are more ways to get a healing than what you think there are. I can smear mud into your eyeball and create you a whole new eyeball. You were created out of mud anyway. I'm sure that's what he was probably thinking. Well, I've been here before. I've done this before. I've created eyeballs. I've created hearts and lungs. And he created us. Everything else, he just spoke. He created us. So be prepared. Be prepared to get out of your comfort zone. Now, next church, we must be prepared by following his instructions. This is something that we lose out on a lot because we get too impatient. We want to just hurry up. We don't want to wait on you, Jesus. Well, God said he's going to do this, and he hasn't done it yet, so that must mean we got to go do this, this, or this, or this. Sometimes just wait on you, Jesus, means exactly that. Just wait. It means sit down, be quiet, and wait. We don't like doing that, do we? We hate that. Just to ask a simple question, your level of patience is when you go to Menards and there's 14 checkout counters and they all have lights on, so every one of them is open. How many times do you dart from 1 to 2 to 3 to 4 to 5 to 6 all the way up trying to find the shortest line? Because we don't want to wait. We go to the gas station, don't want to wait. There's one car in the car wash, I don't want to wait 4 minutes. Got to go. Come back later. Not that driving home is going to take you 20 minutes, and then you got to drive back 20 minutes. You wasted 40 minutes of life to save 4 minutes. That's wisdom. You see, when we prepare for our destiny with God, fulfilling God's will and his purpose in our lives, amazing things are going to begin to happen. And we're beginning to see some of those things happen. Deuteronomy 8. Verses 11 through 16 in the Message says, and I'm not going to read all of this, I'm going to read a portion of it. Make sure you don't forget God, your God, by not keeping his commandments, his rules and regulations that I command you today. Make sure that when you eat and are satisfied, and it goes on to talk about building pleasant houses and your herds and your flocks and money. Watch your standard of living going up and up and up. This is God talking to Israel. Reminds them to not forget about the God who delivered you from slavery and the God who led you through the huge and fearsome wilderness and the desolate, arid badlands with snakes and all kinds of creatures. The God who gave you water that was gushing out of a rock. Every day you could go to the rock and you could get water out of the rock. The God who gave you manna to eat in the wilderness is saying, don't forget who I am in your life. Don't forget what I have done in your life. And if you want me to continue to do these things, you must follow my instructions. So when God says go, we go. When God says sit down and rest, we sit down and rest. When God says jump, we say how high and how far and which direction. We simply have to be prepared to follow his instructions. Reading our Bibles and doing what it says is so critical in preparing our house for revival. God honors his word. God is a man, if I could put it that way, a man of his word. God says, if you do this, I will do this. Expect me to do this. But if you don't do that, don't expect this. And so many times, we just want to get ahead of God. Remember your Bible and do what it says. Now, remember our last series, one of our last series last year on the gifts of the Spirit. All of this ties together, folks. So, church, we need to be prepared to activate and exercise his gifts. Now, in the Amplified, John 14:26 says, but the Comforter, meaning the counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and the Holy Spirit, whom my Father will send in my name, in my place, to represent me and act on his on my behalf, he will teach you all things. And he will cause you to recall, or he will remind you of, or bring to your remembrance everything that I have told you. Now, 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 11, which is a long passage. We're not going to cover all of that. But basically, at our disposal, we have 9 spiritual gifts that are powerful gifts. One of those gifts is the gift of wisdom. That's a gift. It's a gift of knowledge. Knowledge is a gift. Discerning various spirits. It's very, very important that we are able to determine the spirit that is speaking. That's important. If I get up here and say anything that's contrary to what's in this word, there's a problem. I've told you that before. There's a problem. The speaking in tongues, the interpretation of tongues, prophecy, faith, the working of miracles, the gift of healing, in preparation for our house, our homes for revival, our loving God allows us to tap into the most powerful yet motivational gifts that we could ever obtain. God didn't leave us powerless. There's a reason why he said greater works than these. Speaking of himself, he's saying greater, listen, church, you're going to, because he was talking to his disciples. That was the New Testament church. It hadn't been birthed yet, but it was coming. He's saying greater things. You see what I'm doing? You're going to do greater things than this. Why? Because I'm going to send you power. You're going to have power. You're going to have authority. You're going to have wisdom. You're going to have knowledge. You're going to be able to take and speak in tongues and interpret tongues. You're going to be able to prophesy. You're going to have faith and miracles. The gift of healing, all of these things I am equipping you with through the power of the Holy Spirit. So God gives us Romans 12, 6 through 8, having gifts, meaning faculties, talents, qualities that differ according to the grace given to us. We're all going to have different gifts. What Brother Ty has isn't going to be the same thing that Brother Dan has. That's why it's so critically important that if God has given you a specific gift, you use it. Remember we talked about that? Use it or lose it. Let us use them. Those who gifts is in prophecy, let them prophesy according to the proportion of his faith. And he goes on talking about practical service. We just talked about this Sunday in our Bible, our Sunday Bible class, teaching and preaching and encouraging one another. It's so important that we encourage one another. I want to come to church and be encouraged, not come to church and get beat up. Especially by a brother or sister. There's nothing worse than getting beat up by family. I can expect to get beat up by the bully down the block, but to get beat up by Brother Dennis? No. We got to be careful of that. Once again, be prepared to use your gift as they are a critical weapon in our spiritual arsenal. God didn't give us all the same gifts and didn't give us all the gifts for one person. He spread it around in his body. He said, I want to give Brother Norman Puckett a specific gift. And I want you to use that gift, Brother Norman. Brother Ben, I'm going to give you a specific gift. I want you to use that gift. We're almost done here. So what happens if we prefer not to use our kingdom gifts to do the things God is trying to prepare us to do? We have to understand that God is no respecter of persons. If we refuse to use what he's given us, he'll raise up somebody that will. Remember when God used the donkey? Now, this is going to get really personal here. We're not going to like this, but if we as apostolics won't raise up, God will raise up somebody. God will show some Baptist the light. All of those that are watching that are Baptist are going to say, we already have the light. Not quite. You're not quite there. You're getting there. God will raise up someone. I've talked with folks that attend the Catholic denomination, and they go to prayer meetings, and they talk about how that in their prayer meetings that the Holy Ghost, people are speaking in tongues in our prayer meetings. Listen, God, when we get to heaven, it's not going to just be a heaven full of Pentecostals. They'll be apostolic because that's doctrine. They won't have, they're not going to all be Pentecostal. I think we're going to be shocked at how many other people are going to be up there. So God is, if the apostolic voice won't speak out, the answer is found, remember, the answer in Luke 12:47, as a servant who knows what the answer wants, but isn't what the master wants, as a servant who knows what the master wants, but isn't prepared, doesn't carry out those instructions, will be severely punished. I want to hear my Heavenly Father say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Now, well done can be one of two things. I like to cook. I don't like well done steak. I know what that means. I don't want him to say, well done. No, I want him to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. If our musicians could come and we can stand, and as we our musicians make their way, I was just one last point I want to cover, and this will be brief, but we need to prepare ourselves to assume a leadership role. You may not see yourself as a leader, but if we're going to have a revival of 10, 15, 20,000 souls and 25 preaching points, we are all going to be leaders. We're all going to have to lead in one capacity or another. So 1 Peter 3:15 says, but in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. It is amazing to me how many times after church someone will come up and say, Pastor, this person has a question. And they ask me a doctrinal question. Sometimes I wonder, what's wrong? Why can't you answer that question? You see, the verse says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asked you to give the reason for the hope that you have. So that means, Brother Josh, that scripture's talking about you. We like to look at it and say, well, you know, pastors should always be prepared to give an answer. Prophets should always be prepared to give an answer. Apostles should always be prepared to give an answer. Teachers should always be prepared to give an answer. Evangelists should always be prepared to give an answer. But you see, 1 Peter 3:15, Peter isn't limiting it to those who operate in the fivefold ministry of gifts. He's talking to everybody. So it goes back to knowledge. It goes back to wisdom. This verse applies to everyone. Everyone, be prepared to assume a leadership role. So as we wrap up this portion of our series, Paul says, there's one thing that I do. I'm going to forget the past. I'm going to forget yesterday. I'm going to forget last week, last month, last year. And I'm going to press. press forward to what lies ahead. But Paul, there's a shipwreck lying ahead. I'm going to press forward because God's got something in a shipwreck. He says, I don't care what's happened. I'm pressing forward. I don't want to become complacent. I don't want to get stuck at where I am. But Paul, you're in a prison in Rome. I'm moving forward. I'm pressing. Bring me some parchment. Bring me my coat. I got some letters to write. I gotta get some of this out. I got things to do yet. I'm pressing. I'm pressing. I'm pressing. So, church, tonight, we need to press on. Press on. That may mean we're pressing on into a battle like we've never had to fight before, Sister Ernestine. But we gotta press on. Oh, it may mean that there's some times of relaxation. We sit down and we just enjoy one another's company. But we press on. It may mean that there's battles ahead and there's rest areas ahead, but we press on. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So tonight, church, are we willing to press on? Are we willing to push forward? As our worship team begins to sing, I'm just going to open up this altar tonight. You're struggling with, stuck in a comfort zone. You're struggling in any area. Come down to the altar. Say, God, tonight, I'm drawing a line in the sand. I'm pressing on. I'm pressing forward. I'm moving forward. I'm pushing on. I'm going to prepare my house, my personal house. I'm going to prepare my family. I'm going to prepare this church house for revival. God bless you.
I want to know.
Sunday school, that Brother Gail and Sister Ann Thompson will be here ministering with us and for us. And we're excited about that, so don't forget that. Remember also, tomorrow the weather's supposed to get pretty nasty, so be careful as you're out and about. And thank you so very much to our worship team and musicians tonight. God bless you all. Remember, prepare your house for revival. Personal revival, corporate revival. Personal, corporate revival will only happen with personal revival. It's the only way it'll happen. So God bless you. Love you all. Appreciate you all. Remember those in our assembly that are struggling with illnesses and health issues. Continue to pray for them. And God bless you. We will see you back here on Sunday. God bless you.